Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is Marcia, Dr. Cappuccino, and we're live again here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a very good topic for this morning, and guess what? Dr. Colonel Harrison is going to be live again with us. He has some very interesting notes that we discussed this week, and of course, he's always a man of the hour. He's a great listener, and he's a great speaker, and you've got to have both when you're on the air and, of course, when you are presenting facts and information to the general public. Again, this is Marcia on the Dr. Cappuccino Show. It's beautiful out here in sunny California. I don't care what people say about this state. We take first place in beauty of weather and, of course, sunny shores here. We're ocean-bound, Pacific Ocean, and I can tell you it's 8 a.m. People already getting themselves ready to hit the beaches. And, of course, after working a long week of 40, 50, 60 hours, of course, they deserve that. Again, we have Colonel Harrison, who is definitely one of our favorite speakers. Colonel Harrison, are you on the live right now?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cappuccino. Thank you for inviting me again, and I hope and pray that all is well with you and your listeners.
Well, everything is well, and the listeners are ready to hear from you. We were just talking about sunny California. It's gorgeous out here. It's already about 68, 70 degrees, and we're looking forward to get, of course, a little higher than that. But we have, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wonderful. What have you been wonderful. Thanks for sharing that, Doctor. That's wonderful.
Well, thank you very much. But this morning, our show topic is God is not listening to the woes of man. Is this true? There's so much going on in the world. People are saying, you know what, I don't know where this God is that I have been praying to, but something is not right. I don't think he's listening to my prayers. I don't think he's looking down from heaven and just taking notice of what is happening. What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? Dr. Harrison, what is your... What is your view on this? You're also a man of the cloth. You're a minister. You've been preaching to people for several years. You are a pastor there at Second Union Baptist Church. Now, this isn't a God-only show. God is. But we want to let the listeners know today we're bringing up backgrounds because of our show topic. What do you feel about that statement? God is not listening to what's going on here. In our world with all this crime and mayhem.
Well, very well, Doc. I retired from law enforcement, as you said, pastoring a community-based church in Southwest Washington, D.C., nation's capital, and my doctorate degree is in theology. And if I may just try and navigate us through where we are. Well, whether one believes in God or not is irrelevant to God. There is a God. Psalm 83, 13 said, that men may know that the name Jehovah is the most high over all the earth. And I look at the price. And so I'm looking at the price. Yeah, so I'm looking at the price of where we are, about top 10 and listeners, and we will find in the New Testament, and I'm not trying to inundate anyone with scriptures, but I use this as a biblical reference because of my my degree in theology, advanced degree in theology. And we will find in Matthew 10:33, it says, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So it appears that the world is moving in the direction of apostasy. Apostasy means turning away from God, turning away from the belief there is a God, turning away from worshiping in church and synagogues and temples and worship centers. And so as man turn away from that which I believe is the creator, which I believe there are others that believe there is a creator, God is silent. God is mute. God is not going to respond. And so Satan, based on my learnings and my studies, Satan is the prince of the air. And so Satan is having his way throughout the world, and certainly he's wreaking havoc in the United States with all the adverse things that are happening. We have people calling good evil and evil good. All that is because it's an abomination of turning away from the true and living God for those who believe there is a God, and I am one of those. And I have some other commentaries I'll share with you, but I'll pause to let you interject, Doc.
Well, you know, sir, for those the listeners and the listening community, for those that do not have a theologian's degree out here looking too, seeing that there's a problem that needs supernatural help should be invoked, but it appears that nothing is happening on that area. They don't have a degree. I mean, do you need to have a theologian's degree to say something vast is going on? What about those people with no degree?
Wonderful, wonderful question, Doc. No one does not have to have a theological degree to believe. I preface the fact that I have the doctorate in theology. Theology means the study of God, to show that I'm qualified to speak to the subject matter that is the narrative of our discussion this morning. Now, God's Son, back during the first century, 2,000 years ago, was concerned about those who were among the least of them, meaning the commoner, the ordinary man, the homeless, the sick, the shut-in, the widow, the orphan, the prostitute, those who were down and out, that could not help themselves. Jesus was concerned and considered, had compassion upon those. And so the bottom line is, God is no respecter of persons, and that's what the Bible teaches. But we have to seek after something that's greater than man. And so what I see through my intense study of theology is that there's a supernatural superior being. It doesn't matter whether one calls him Jehovah, whether they call him God, or whether they call him Allah. There's a supernatural human being. And man, woman, and child is in need of that on the face of the earth if they have any intentions of having hope, having peace, having relatively a decent life for the remainder of the 70 or 80 years of life that we may have on this planet.
Oh, I see, and I'm sure our listeners are interested in that short commentary. Now, when you start talking about God and presidents, emperors, those that are in charge as leaders, why do you think when bad things happen to people, they start blaming God? They don't blame the president. They don't blame their own selves. They don't blame their lifestyle, but they want to just tear God apart when something bad or evil happens in their life. Why is that?
Well, that to me, that's foolishness, because how dare we blame God for the failures of mankind if mankind is not willing to obey and be obedient to the commandments and the statutes and the instructions of God. We'll find, for the listeners, they can find in the book of Daniel chapter 2, that it's God that elevates presidents, kings, queens, princesses. It's God that elevates them, and when they abuse their authority, it's God who will abase them, meaning bring them low, bring them down. God is not the problem. Man is the problem. Woman is the problem. Child is the problem. We have to be submissive to the instructions of that supernatural being, the Great White Spirit, I believe the Native Indians call him, or the Great Spirit, that being that's superior to us. this world didn't come into our existence by cosmos. One has to do study, one has to do research, and then one has to believe. If they don't believe, then they're going to continue to go through trials and tribulations and be downtrodden and be depressed and commit suicide and live in chaos in this world. One has to seek that which they may not believe in. I grew up with a foundation that there's a God through my parents, but I sought after it to convince myself there is. And so now, because I sought after, I identified, I found, and now I believe.
My goodness, you really summed that up. Now, there's also something going around as far as, I would call it a false teaching here in our world, and that is God, even though he created man, this is some of the teaching that people are kind of sort of leaning on. They're saying, even though he created man, he knew that man was going to go bad in the first place, and he's playing Russian roulette with the lives of men, women, and children. How could you explain that to someone talking that kind of talk?
Okay. Another excellent question, Doc. And the light has fallen right where he whom I believe in would have me to respond. Let us go back briefly to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. But in chapter 1, let me speak to Genesis chapter 1, which Genesis means the beginning, and that's the first book of the Bible that I believe in, the 66 books. And you'll find in the chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, everything that God created, after he created, he made the comment at the end of the verse of each scripture and said that it is good. Everything that he created. And in chapter 2, he didn't create man until the sixth day. And let's create man in our own image and our own likeness. And he was talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Plural, let us. And so everything God created was good. It was morally right. It was morally sound. So nothing was wrong with that which God had created, but it became corrupted. And I invite the listeners to read Genesis chapter 3, and they'll find how man fell out of relationship with God and fell from the grace of God and due to sin and due to disobedience. That's when mankind started in a downward spiral. And then later I want them to read Genesis chapter 8 and 9, and they'll hear about the great flood. Men became evil, they became violent, and they start killing one another and so forth on the earth. And this is almost about 6,000 years ago. So God made everything good. Man has made it evil. Woman has made it evil. And they have taught their children, based on their actions, to do evil things.
My goodness, that's kind of scary. Wow. So we can't sit back and blame God for things that are going on in our lives based on what you just said, because from the very beginning of man's existence, you've just proven from Genesis 1 and Genesis 6 that, hey, everything was good. There was no problems. Well, then what became the main problem for man's downfall? You've already covered why we should not blame God for what's happening in our lives. But now, after our creative process, what happened? Because we're certainly not enjoying any peace at any good times, looking out at the chaos that's there in the world. What happened? If God did that, and the scriptures, according to you, prove that, what happened to man?
Man lost his way, Dr. Constantino, due to disobedience and sin. Sin is disobedience, disrespect, and contempt for the instructions and holy words of God. The wisest man that ever lived, King Solomon, who was the son of King David. And Solomon was the third king of Israel, and he reigned for 40 years over Israel. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, which is a poetic book of the Bible, chapter 14 and 12, Solomon said, there's a way about men that seems right, and he uses man, that seems right, but the end leads to destruction. And so we are living in a time in the 21st century for everyone that their way is right. There's only one moral standard, and that moral is that of God. As Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, and the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a lie. And so we have ways that we have about us where we want to impose our personal ways and our indiscretions and our indulgences that are wrong, that are immoral and are unethical and unlawful upon others. And that's what has happened. And so man has lost his way. And when the man loses his way, the woman loses her way, and the children lose their way.
Well, you know, people are not looking at it like that. And you really set us straight this morning. But people are not looking at it that way. They're saying that this God that created us, is pulling our strings. We're shaping under some kind of a rule that he set in our DNA, and really doesn't care, because if he did, mankind would not be suffering. We still have some that might want to say that God is not good to his creatures. How would you explain that to the common man and the common woman? You know, they're getting up every day, they're trying to go to work, you know, they're trying to do the right thing at work, then they're coming home to their families. Still, there's no peace. What's going on? If this God is all this great and good, and everything he created, including us, was good, you know, the angels clapped their hands and said, yay, yay, yay. What can we tell the still suffering that is going to get up this morning with more problems than they can handle? And they're going to say, God is not going to hear me if I pray and ask him for help. He is not going to be there. What can we say to those that are still sighing and groaning about what's happening in the world, yet they say God is just sitting there looking down?
God, I dare them to seek after the true and living God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that we desire will be given unto us. I challenge them to seek something greater than man. Seek something that's greater than woman. Seek something that's greater than child. Seek something that's greater than the earth. If you can't find it in the way they're living and what they're doing, and being depressed and being despondent and feeling insecure, feeling unsecure, and feeling disappointed all the time, then it's time for a change. It's time to seek after something that will give you peace, something that will give you tranquility, something that will give you harmony in your life. And I forget the great, I don't think it was Einstein, but one of the great psychologists of the 18th century said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. I sought not to continue my insanity. I sought to seek after something that I felt that I could seek after, that I could find. And if I found what I was seeking after and I found that the thing was true, then that is what has given me my peace. So pastors are not to be blamed. People are to be blamed, because we each individually were created in the image and admonition of the Godhead. So let us seek after it. You seek after it, seeking you shall find. Knocking the door shall be open. Asking it shall be given unto you. I challenge them this and greater than they are.
Well, my goodness, you've encouraged me to seek after something greater than I am, because, you know, every now and then I wonder, how much longer, God? You know, all the killings, all the crimes that's just soaring in every state. God, where are you? What's happening? When are you going to wipe the slate clean? My goodness, I know there's others out there that want to know, well, how can I get to know this God better? How can I get to know the thoughts of this God? How can I know how to please this God? Because, hey, I'm scared. And I don't see any changes going on in the lives of some of my friends and maybe perhaps myself. How can I get to know this God that you've introduced on the show this morning?
Excellent, Doctor. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you also asked that question. I encourage them to read whether they believe or not, in God, to read in the Bible the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It speaks of salvation. Salvation means deliverance from the power and penalty of sin. If we seek after God, these two verses of Scripture and this particular letter written by the Apostle Paul during the first century called Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, will lead them unto salvation. They'll be delivered from their sin, they'll be delivered from the penalty of their sin, and they will be able to allow God to manifest himself into their lives through what is called the Holy Spirit. And they will have a peace that passes all understanding, peace that the world can't give them, and peace that the world can't take away. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, I encourage them to read those, read that particular book of the Bible, if you will, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that will lead them unto salvation if they're not saved and they want to live a better life and they want to do better. And they'll find a good Bible-based teaching church and visit often, and they will learn the principles that they will live a better quality of life. And it's better to begin now than not begin at all, because it's, the Bible speaks of two places. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Two places. Either we spend eternity, time without end, serving God, worshiping God, being a follower of God in heaven, or we can choose not to and choose the principle there, which is Satan, and spend eternity in a place called hell that burneth with fire and brimstone. So we have a choice. We have free will, and mankind got to start exercising free will. And it's not about politics. It's about what is morally right, because politics is politics, and politics, more often than not, is not based on morally or godly principles.
Wow, my goodness. I think I'm going to take that advice myself, and I know some of our listeners are too. Now, when you come into this new relationship with God, are you supposed to feel any different? Are you supposed to walk any different? Are you supposed to cry out to God 10 times a day rather than once a year? I mean, what's supposed to happen once a person says yes? I'm proud of who I am, and I don't know what's going on in the world, but I think if I, too, can make a change, things are going to be different. How can they do that?
Okay, that's excellent. One way to do it, once they submit and surrender to God, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, find a Bible-based church. They have to change their environment, meaning they have to change associating and socializing with sinful people. God will give them new friends to fellowship with in the particular chosen church that they will be led to by the Spirit. We have to change things that we do, the sinful habits that we have. Those things will slowly leave us once you find a Bible-based church. First, you got to surrender your life to God's Son, Jesus Christ. Then find a Bible-based church, and then the pastor or the elder, whomever, bishop, will start teaching the principles of the Bible so that they can make a transformation, continue to make that transformation in their lives. That they have to abstain from sin, and they have to change people that they fellowship with, socialize with. They have to change the entire social environment structure. And then they will find that the change will come about, because people will start encouraging them and praying for them. And there's no certain number of times that one has to pray and seek God through prayers. However, the Bible says pray is often, pray without ceasing, every time they get a chance. The prophet Daniel in the Old Testament prayed three times a day. That was his tradition. There are others that might pray that many times a day or once. The idea is to get one's soul right now, because God is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. If we don't get right with God now while the blood is still running warm through our veins, then the Bible teaches that hell will be one's eternal resting place and not heaven. But once you come under salvation, heaven will become your home. But you have to find the Bible-based church, attend church regularly, and fellowship with like-minded Christians, and there whereby a change will come over their lives that will certainly be for the better and not for the worse.
Oh, my goodness. I know I've got to make some changes just listening to you now. Colonel Harrison, you also are an accomplished author. Can you talk to us a little bit, say 60 seconds, about the book that you've written, and if that book contains anything about what you just stated, about going back to God, returning to God, and getting into a Bible-based church. Let's talk about your book for a moment.
Sure, Doc. Thank you for the opportunity. The answer to my book is answered. To Silver and Less in the Land. Within the book, it has principles speaking of silver disobedience. And I take it back in history to Mahatma Gandhi, who was a civil rights leader and activist of the country of India. He initiated the nonviolence movement when India was being oppressed by an outside country, and he kept the people encouraged by encouraging them with positive moral principles, not to strike back, to love their enemy, and to pray that they be delivered. And the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, 50 years ago, adopted the same principles almost as Mahatma Gandhi of India. And Dr. King became the greatest civil rights leader of all time, not only perhaps in the United States, but perhaps I would say second to Mahatma Gandhi in India. And so the book talks about silver unrest, and it talks about inequities. It talks about racial discrimination. It talks about racial disorder. It talks about social injustices to people of color in the United States. And that was Dr. King's movement. And ironically, if God would have it, Dr. King was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He was a pastor, a first, and a civil rights leader, activist, secondly. So God was involved with Mahatma Gandhi. God was involved with Dr. King, influencing and directing their paths. And as the book comes into contemporary society, modern-day society, it encourages police practitioners, law enforcement departments and agencies and sheriffs and federal, state, and local to become involved in organizations and get to know the people and build alliances and friendships and relationships so that they can get to know each other, and there won't be no intimidation of certain communities by the police because they all want to work together. The residents want to live in peace, and the police officers want law-abiding citizens for the most part, which makes their job easier. And so the book talks about how to bring those groups, law enforcement and the civic groups together, and politicians and elected officials together, so that we can have a better quality of life and have a better working relationship and a wholesome one in certain communities throughout the United States. And so the book talks about that toward the end of it, how to mobilize those type groups and those type people to make them come together as one.
Well, you know what, Colonel Harrison? I'm going to encourage our listeners to rush out to their nearest bookstore. I understand from going online that Barnes & Noble is also carrying copies, up to 12 copies per store. They can also reach out to Amazon.com, and then they can also reach out to you personally. How can we reach you?
Email wharri1943@aol.com. Via Facebook, just William Harrison in Temple Hills, Maryland, and via Twitter, @wharri_raptor. And they can reach me or become a follower on Twitter, follow me on Twitter. So those are the social medias that I'm currently involved in, and I can be contacted and or followed.
Have a great day, Colonel Harrison. We're so glad to have had you on the show. We expect you back next week, if at all possible. God bless you. Thank you, listeners, for calling in to the Dr. Cappuccino Show.